ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading today from the 7th canto, chapter number 11, chapter entitled The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, text number 25. Prinam cha pati devanam tachchushrushanukulata tadbandhu svanu vrittischa Nityam tadvrata dharanam Srinam cha pati devanam Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Translation To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. Those are the four principles to be followed by women, described as chaste. Purport. It's very important for peaceful householder life that a woman follow the vow of her husband. Any disagreement with the husband's vow will disrupt family life. In this regard, Chanakya Pandit gives a very valuable instruction. Dampatyo kalaho nasti tatra sri swayam agataha. When there are no fights between husband and wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the house. A woman's education should be conducted along the lines indicated in this verse. The basic principle for a chaste woman is to be always favorably disposed toward a husband. In Bhagavad Gita 1.40, it is said, Strisu dustasu varshneya jayate varna shankara. If the women are polluted, there will be varna shankara population. In modern terms, the varna shankara are the hippies who do not follow any regulative injunctions. Another explanation is that when the population is varna shankara, no one can know who is on what platform. The Varnashram system scientifically divides society into four Varnas and four Ashram. But in Varnashankara society, there are no such distinctions, and no one can know who is who. In such a society, no one can distinguish between a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, and a Shudra. For peace and happiness in the material world, the Varnashram institution must be introduced. The symptoms of one's activities must be defined, and one must be educated accordingly. Then spiritual advancement will automatically be possible. To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women, described as chaste. So seeking the blessings of all the senior assembled Vaishnavas. Actually, it was not my turn to give class today. His Grace Kaustu Prabhu, one of our illustrious grahasthas, at the last moment he was asked by Maharaj to join him since they were going to that hospital. So Hare Krishna Prabhu's causeless mercy. And as I was going through this verse to prepare, I was actually thinking that it's fortunate that this verse is not talking about what is the duties of a husband. Here I can talk as much as I want without creating any difficulties to my heart. So we are seeing this discussion between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Narad Muni, as he was asked by Yudhishthir Maharaj to describe about the duties of the Varnashram system, Narad Muni said that I will actually narrate to you exactly what was told to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. And we see in this particular verse, a description of what is expected out of a chaste woman. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many examples of ladies who are so chaste and so exceptionally servient to their husbands, particularly from the life of Mother Devahuti. Now, she was the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, who was the king of the whole universe. And obviously, she was brought up in very, very opulent circumstances. But when the time came for her to be married, her father, Swayambhuva Manu, was not looking out for somebody who was very wealthy or very handsome or having a high position in society. Swayambhuva Manu knew that what was ultimately the most important thing for her, for his daughter, what was the most important gift that it could give to his daughter, was to get her married to a person with a very high quality of spiritual consciousness. And we see that Kardama Muni was one such person. And Kardama Muni, when he decided that he wanted to enter into the Grihastha Ashram, for nearly 10,000 years he was meditating and praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see that this is not just in the case of Kardama Muni, but in most characters who want to enter into the Grihastha Ashram in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like we see from the life of Daksha. When he decided that his sons should be entering into the Grihastha Ashram, he told them that you should go now to the forest and prepare yourself to enter into the Grihastha Ashram by meditating. So this is the standard, actually, for all husbands to be following, that they should be, first of all, preparing themselves to be entering into the Grihastha Ashram. So just like how a wife is also expected to be having certain qualities, similarly the husband is also required to be having certain qualities as a husband. And Kardama Muni, for 10,000 years, he was actually praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be given a beautiful, not just a beautiful wife, but a wife who would help him in a spiritual life. And at the end of this 10,000 years, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested himself in front of Kardama Muni and told Kardama Muni that all along I knew what has been there in your heart. Of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a Paramatma knows everything. So, the Lord told him that 2 days from now, Swayambhuva Manu will personally come along with his daughter and his wife and request you to accept his daughter in marriage. And the Lord was describing the qualities of Mother Devahuti, that she is an exceptional girl who will serve you in all respects. And she is most eminently qualified to be your wife. And Kardama Muni was an ascetic living in the forest, completely renounced. And when the marriage did take place, after the departure of the parents, Devahuti transformed herself from a person who was accustomed to a very opulent lifestyle to a person who now had to spend the remainder of her life in the forest, which meant that she wore clothes made of bark and she was eating only fruits and roots and herbs, whatever was growing in the forest. And her husband, for long periods of time, would go into a trance of meditation. And throughout this period, she would serve him with such consciousness that she always knew what he wanted, much before he asked for it. Now, this is the quality of a first-class wife. A first-class wife or a first-class servant is a person who understands what the master requires, So there's no need for him to be asking. And Devahuti always knew what the husband wanted. And accordingly, she would serve him. And in the process, she became very emaciated. Her skin became discolored. She lost her external beauty. She was a very, very beautiful lady. She lost her external beauty. And yet, because she was serving such an elevated soul, she was always in supreme bliss. And then one day when Kardama Muni came out of his trance and he saw that Devahuti had become so emaciated, he himself was so happy. He said, this is the quality of a wife who is serving her husband, that she has no concern about her physical well-being. And Devahuti also knew that her husband was so powerful that he could grant her any benediction she wanted. So then she requested her husband that, now, my dear husband, please give me a child. And Kardama Muni knew that since they were in the forest, which is actually in a place in the mode of goodness, procreation is not possible in the mode of goodness. So he had to create a different environment. So with his mystical power, he created an aerial palace, which even the demigods were envious of. You can imagine. So opulent that thousands of maidservants, it had fountains, it had gardens, it had palaces which were inlaid with precious stones. There were birds singing, there were animals roaming in the forest. So this was not an ordinary mansion. It had the capacity to travel at the speed of thought. You just had to think that you wanted to be in this place, and that aerial mansion would transform you to that place. So it had everything that a person could possibly need for sense gratification. And then Kardama Muni instructed his wife to take a bath in the nearby river. I think it's a pond, a lake. And when she emerged out, she was radiantly beautiful. And then the Bhagavatam describes how for 100 years, Kardama Muni and Devahuti traveled all over the universe at will, wherever they wanted to go. Some of the most beautiful places in this universe they were visiting. Thousands of years, actually. And then at the end of this period, Kardama Muni, in the womb of Mother Devahuti, through the womb of Mother Devahuti, gave her 9 daughters. Now this is the quality of a great soul, that at the end, after he had done what his responsibilities were, then he requested Mother Devahuti, now you please release me so that I can go back into the forest and continue with my meditation. And although Mother Devahuti was very much agitated, she still did not externally show it. So we see that a lady, particularly when there are difficulties in the house, it's always the husband who gets agitated. Particularly when there's a calamity, or when there is some distress, or when there's some difficulty. It's always the husband who is relatively in a very distressful situation. The wife is always calm, cool, and composed. So Devahuti did not show that she was at heart very much agitated. But then with a very, in a humble way, she requested Kardama Muni that she should now be given a son. That the daughters will eventually get married and go away, and then what will happen of me? So please give me a son. And that is how Lord Kapila was manifested in this world. And the instructions between the mother and the son, one huge section of the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with these instructions. And how does these instructions begin? by Mother Devahuti asking her son, now please tell me, how do I get detached from this bodily conception of life? Very, very valuable and thought-provoking question for all of us. Who would ask such a question to a son? Please tell me, how do I get out of this bodily conception of life? How do I get over this cycle of birth and death? And Kapila Muni explains about the whole cycle, how a materialistic person, so much attached to his family members, and so much anxiety in order to provide for them, does anything and everything in order to provide for them. And finally, when he becomes old, he is treated like a pet dog. Not even like a pet dog, worse than a pet dog. At least a pet dog is taken care of. You give him some food. But here, when you become old, and this is a typical situation that that will happen practically to everybody, unless and until we are devotees. That in our old age, nobody wants to take care of us. Our children, they have their own issues, problems, which they are so much caught up in trying to solve. And the parents only become a burden. And yet this person, because he feels that I have done so much for my children and now my children should reciprocate with me, so much of expectation. A materialistic person has so much of expectation from his children. In fact, every person in this material world, at least in India, hankers for a son, only for one reason. Of course, the son will do the final rites for him, but at the same time, the son will provide for me in my old age. With that expectation, there is so much of a desire to have a son. At any cost, I must have a son. Some or the other, I must have a son. So they have one daughter, two daughters, three daughters, four daughters, five daughters, half a dozen daughters, and then after that, still sometimes they don't have a son. They don't take this as the arrangement of the Lord that they are not destined to have a son. And I know of a family who had nine daughters and after that one son. And this particular son was so much loved and respected by all the family members. Solina Sadhana Swami Maharaj ki jai. And this particular son was so much loved and respected by all his family members, so much doted upon, that finally, 20 years later, after he was born, he became such a spoiled son that he actually became a great source of misery for his parents. And his daughters, whom they actually were getting to hate because they were not what they wanted, they actually stood by the parents at the time of their old age. So old age is a curse in this materialistic civilization where everybody wants to be young, handsome, good-looking. People don't want to become old. But then in old age, you really have to undergo so much of suffering. And then Kapila Muni is describing that this person, towards the end of his life, when death is coming, that is the time when he is surrounded by all his family members and he's not even able to speak. His voice is choked because his whole system is covered with mucus. And he wants to tell his family members something. He wants to express something to his family members, but he's not able to do so. And you can imagine the frustration that a person is undergoing, you know. At that situation, he wants to tell something to his family members. He's so much attached to them. I'm leaving, I'm going somewhere to a place that I do not know. So please forgive me for all offenses and things like that. He may be wanting to tell them, but he's not able to speak. He's not able to express anything. He dies a miserable death. And such a sinful person, Kapila Muni explains to his mother, he traverses through the hellish planets, suffering the results of his activities. And finally, he comes back once again into this 84 lakh species of life. And ultimately, he comes once again as a human being. Such a huge... such a huge span that he has to cover. And finally, he comes to the human being. And then after he comes to the human being, if he does not take advantage of this human form of life, Kapila Muni explains to his mother, he has to go through the same fate again. He has to again go to the hellish planets, again take life as an animal, plant, insect, reptile, fish. So it's a very long description is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is an ideal marriage between Kardama Muni and Devahuti. And then after Kapila Muni had related this whole his whole narration, then he requests his mother to give him permission so that he can perfect his life. And then his mother also, she becomes a tapasvi. Her husband had made all the arrangements so that she could be having very opulent facilities, but even there, she was practicing such austere renunciation. Such austerities was practiced by her that she became completely emaciated, her hair became gray, and then her body became wrinkled. And Bhagavatam describes that she was actually, although she was following all this austerity, still she did not become weak because she was taken care of by all the maidservants that were created for her by her husband. So this is a glorious example of an ideal wife who was completely surrendered towards serving her husband, who considered her husband to be none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in a Vedic civilization, this is what a wife would automatically do. There was no question of her trying to be independent. There was no question of her trying to take up a job. It may be a very poor household. There may not be much to eat, but still, the wife would never even consider of going out, venturing out of the home to take up a job in order to maintain the family. That was a responsibility of the husband. And if the husband could not fulfill the responsibility on account of any reason, the wife just accepted it. In fact, this role that this wife plays, the special role that the wife plays, is explained so beautifully by Draupadi to Satyabhama. Now we see over here a very unusual situation. Satyabhama is the queen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now she is coming, Satyabhama is coming to Draupadi and asking her, now please tell me, how do I serve my husband in such a way that I can make him pleased with me? You have not just one husband, you have five husbands. How is it that you keep them so happy? Please tell me, what is the secret? How you are able to satisfy them so wonderfully? And I just would like to read from this beautiful manual which has been compiled under the chairmanship of one of our most illustrious grihasthas, His Grace Vrishabhanu Prabhu and Kirtida Mataji. Now this was a project that went over nearly 1 year. There were a few grihastha families that came together under the instruction of His Holiness Radhanath Swami to put together a manual which could be used by grihasthas in order to carry on their lives. And this has, of course, several topics, including duties of the husband, not just duties of the wife. But we'll just read over here the duties of the wife, which has been enunciated by Draupadi to Satyabhama. I could paraphrase it, but it's better if you read it. So, the background is the Pandava princes and their wife Draupadi had been exiled from their kingdom and were now living in the forest. One day, Lord Krishna and his wife Satyabhama chanced to visit them. Draupadi and Satyabhama had not seen each other for a long time, and after some pleasant conversation, Satyabhama inquired, Draupadi, I know that you are able to rule your husbands who are as strong and handsome as the chief gods. But why are they so obedient to you and never upset by you? Please explain what you are doing so that I may get Krishna to always obey me also. Queen Draupadi replied, the eternal virtue for a woman is based on her concern for her husband. The husband is the wife's god or master and her shelter. Truly, she has no other refuge. Why then should she hurt her husband in even the slightest degree? Whether I am sleeping, eating, or ornamenting myself, I never act against the will of my husbands. Always directed by them, I never speak badly about my mother-in-law. Very, very, very potent statement. Satyabhama asked, is that all? Draupadi replied, no. There are also other things, such as the way I act towards my exalted husbands. For example, I lay aside my vanity, restrain my desire and anger, and always wait on them and their other wives with devotion. I control my jealousy and with love in my heart, and without feeling humiliated with the work I do, I serve my husbands. I am afraid to say what is wicked or untrue, or to look or sit or walk improperly, or to glance at them in a way that reveals the feelings of my heart. My heart is not disposed with any other male, be he human, celestial, Gandharva, young, ornamented, wealthy, or handsome. I never bathe, eat, or sleep till my husbands and our servants have. Whenever my husbands return from the field, woods, or towns, I immediately get up and offer them my respects by providing them with water and a seat. I'm always busy serving my husbands and I never desire to be away from them. When my husbands leave home to visit some relatives, I don't wear any kind of flowers or scented paste and I practice austerities. Whatever my husbands don't eat, drink or enjoy, I also don't. I always seek the good of my husbands and always wear ornaments and follow instructions. Day and night without the slightest idleness, I always discharge those obligations of which my mother-in-law informed me, namely those regarding relatives, charity, worshipping the gods, offering to the ill, etc. With humility and under accepted regulations, I attend to my modest, truthful, ever-virtuous husbands as if they were poisonous snakes that could easily be agitated. Very strong statements made by Queen Draupadi. And also, similarly here, so it's so instructive that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is taking instructions from his servant on how to conduct his grihastha life. So similarly, when Lord Ram and Sita were in exile, they visited the beautiful ashram of Atri Muni and his chaste wife Anusuya. During the stay, Anusuya advised Sita thus, worlds that are attended with great prosperity await those women to whom their husband is dear, no matter whether he lives in a city or a forest, whether he is propitious or adverse. This instruction is at the very root of a successful grihastha's life. Husband's honor must be the wife's honor, his joy, her joy. So, there's so many examples, just like the example of Mother Gandhari. Now, she was also, Prabhupada calls her a tapasvi. We were just listening to a class by Srila Prabhupada today morning during dressing. And Srila Prabhupada says, why she is considered to be a tapasvi? Because she voluntarily decided to undergo the austerity of not being able to see. Can you imagine that she is engaged to be married to a blind man? And because her husband could not see, she decided that she would not see also. And because of that, right from the time she was to get married, she always had a bandage around her eyes. And because of her austerities, the Mahabharata describes what is the extent of potency that she had developed. She had the power to actually make Duryodhan completely invincible. Just by looking at his body, through the eyes which she had voluntarily covered, she, just by looking at Duryodhan's body, she could make him completely invincible. There was nothing that Bhima could have ever done in order to defeat Duryodhan in battle. And yet, of course, since Krishna is always there behind his devotees, he approached Duryodhan and told him, how can you go naked in front of your mother? It's improper. You have to wear something. So Gandharva told his her son Duryodhan, come before me naked. I want to see you. So that just by the sight, she could make him completely invincible. But then Krishna was there to tell him, how could you? And then he said, yes, yes, I can't do this. And then he covered his vital parts. And that was a place, which that was the only place that Bhima could actually hit him and destroy him. She was another example of extremely... So the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there's so many examples. Like we see the wife of Advaita Acharya. Now, this is something completely incomprehensible. Now, Advaita Acharya requests the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to come home for lunch. And it is sometime in the morning that he invites Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts. And then just in a few hours, the number of preparations that were made by his wife, completely inconceivable. How in a few hours so many preparations could be made. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of preparations. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami described that there were unlimited preparations. Thousands of preparations were prepared in a matter of few hours. And regularly, Advaita Acharya would be inviting sannyasis to his home along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. Nowadays, if you want to invite one person to your house, you have to tell your wife at least 2 days in advance to prepare her. Otherwise, after the guest goes, big trouble. But in those days, a few hours, thousands of dishes could be turned out just by the potency of being a chaste wife, always subservient to her husband. So just to balance this particular presentation, I also want to discuss about the duties of the husband. Otherwise, it will be sort of incomplete what has been covered by Vrishabhanu Prabhu in this beautiful presentation. A natural quality of a real Vaishnava is to understand how much his wife is helping him in his devotional service, protecting him from Maya. So only when the husband really understands how important his wife is in his progress on the path of devotional service, this will really make him appreciate and be grateful to what she is doing to him. And if one reads the lives about the lives of great Vaishnavas, one does not find them neglecting, demeaning, or casting ill remarks on their wives. Instead, one finds great Vaishnavas to be caring and protective husbands while strictly following the principles of Krishna consciousness. According to Vedic wisdom, a good wife is a great asset for material and spiritual prosperity. Marriage between a husband and wife means that the husband should be responsible for the wife's well-being and protection in all cases. And as a husband, one should see that the wife is nicely trained in Krishna consciousness. If one has a child, it is the husband's responsibility to see that his family is no longer required to come back and take a material body in this world. Therefore, if one is not able to liberate one's wife from the cycle of birth and death, one should not become a husband. So the husband should become qualified spiritually and must properly be situated in Krishna consciousness to be able to guide his wife properly and protect her on the spiritual platform. This is the most important responsibility that a husband has towards his wife. Protection also entails providing all facilities to one's wife, which means that she should not have the problem of how and where to get food, clothes, shelter, maintaining the home and children. The husband must shoulder this burden. Now, these are quotes from Srila Prabhupada from various purports from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The husband must not neglect his duty and provide clothes, and provide food, clothes, house ornaments, and other necessities in reasonable quantity. Srila Prabhupada explains that providing for the wife and children may involve hardships on the part of the husband, and the wife on her part can make it comfortable for the husband by not demanding too much. Humility, tolerance, and understanding are important attributes in performing the duties as a husband. The husband should be faithful, devoted, and dutiful. Srila Prabhupada explains that one should try to be a husband like Lord Ramchandra. When Lord Ramchandra performed the pastime of searching for Sita Devi, it was not that he was lamenting like an ordinary person. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could have generated any number of Sitas from his internal energy. The pastime of Ravan kidnapping Sita and Ram going in search of Sita sets an example. Srila Prabhupada states that there are two morals to be learned from this pastime. Better not to get married because so many hardships are entailed. And if one does marry, one must be a dutiful husband like Lord Ram and take all kinds of pains to protect one's wife, whatever the hardships. Whatever the hardships one has to undergo, as Lord Ram is demonstrating, ek patni vrata. A grahastha may tend to develop pride because he is the one who provides for the family, and he thinks that he is the one who protects his wife. The husband has the service of providing for the family, but he is not meant to be a dictator or an autocrat. He should not ill-treat his wife, beat her, or be insensitive about her feelings. He must ensure that his wife is fully satisfied in the house and is happy in every way. The husband should protect his wife physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The husband should be specially considerate, compassionate, and helpful when his wife is giving birth to a child and has to pass through the difficult phase of motherhood, which can disturb her physical and mental state and also her devotional service. A husband should rise to the reasonable expectations of his wife and should do his very best to help his wife in every possible way. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Nothing further to add after Srila Prabhupada's very, very extensive quotes that are there here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.